You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Tiffany Bibb. Tiffany with an I, if you're curious. As you might know, I love to talk to people about the changes and choices we make in our lives. And I think sometimes I can break these into two distinct groups. One is things and choices and changes that we do on purpose, intentionally, ourselves. And the other group is changes and choices we make because things happen to us. They're outside of our control and we adapt. Tiffany's story is a time about when she blew up her life. And one of the things that's interesting to me about this story is that it's a blend of things she chose intentionally and things outside of her control. So I think you are really going to love this story. Let's do it. Tiffany Bibb, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here today. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am ready and I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! I start all of my conversations asking my guests what part of the world they call home. So where are you?
I am in Jacksonville, Florida, but originally from Birmingham, Alabama. I always have to mention that. Bama girl.
All right. Very good. So we're in the same state. I'm just all the way down at the bottom. I'm in Miami.
Yeah. We love Miami.
I have lived here a long time. I enjoy it. You know, everything. I always tell people, I don't know if you will agree with this, I say everything that people joke about Florida is absolutely true.
Yes, it is.
And you either have to embrace it and just be like, yeah, we are. Yeah. Or it's going to drive you absolutely crazy. Yes. So in a second, we're going to start the actual interview, which is not about Florida and Florida man and how weird we are. But I have one more question for you, warm-up question, which is, we say laughter is the best medicine. What's something in your life that you can count on to bring a smile to your face or laughter to your day?
I can always count on my 10-year-old daughter to make me laugh or make me smile. She makes me pause and be present in the moment. She is so animated. She is a vocal and theater kid through and through. And so she talks and moves and expresses herself with her whole body. And most times that means she's bumping into something. So I laugh a lot.
I love that. I love that. All right. The topic of the day is, once upon a time, not too long ago, you had a pretty miserable Christmas Eve by your description. And if I've got my facts straight, that turned into you basically blowing up your life on purpose. Those are my words. Do I summarize that pretty well? Do I have some of the facts kind of right?
Indeed, you did. Very true.
All right. All right, let's start with Christmas Eve. Before everything went to crap nuggets, what was the plan? What did you think your Christmas holiday was going to be like? And what would have been if it hadn't gone the wrong way?
Yeah. So my daughter was, I think, 8 or 9 at the time. And it was like typical Christmas break. You know, she's out of school, I'm off work. And this is probably her last year believing in Santa. So we were like all about it. So at the same time, we had a step challenge going on at my job. And my CEO is so competitive. And he was just ahead of me on our steps challenge. And so I went for like an hour and a half walk that morning to like catch up with him. And then we were even. And I was like, I got to go on another walk just to like get ahead of him. And so Christmas Eve, I went on a second walk and literally everything went downhill.
What were some of the things that you would normally do in a Christmas break if it was normal? Is this big family time for you guys? Do you have like elaborate rituals with big events? Were you planning a trip? Like what kind of stuff would be normal? You don't have to give me specifics, but what would a normal festivity so that we have the comparison between what went wrong and what it could have been?
Yeah. So usually Christmas Eve, we are baking fresh sugar cookies and decorating them and allowing Ava to like eat as many as possible. It's usually just the three of us, David, Ava, and I. Okay. We may have already put together the gingerbread house, but if we haven't, we're putting together the gingerbread house and she's eating half of the candy. And so we're really sugared up. We have hot chocolate. Like it's just a night of family inside, maybe some music playing in the background. Yeah.
And then you do, this is a question, because in Miami, there's Noche Buena. So the 24th is a big celebration, but you do big family time also in the morning. Santa Claus comes, you
Yes,
open presents in the
yes,
morning.
yes.
All right. That sounds good. But that is not what happened. Instead, because you're not competitive at all, Tiffany, you go on a second walk with your
Yes.
daughter, or you're playing with your daughter. What happened?
Okay. So here in Jacksonville, Florida, we're known for our bridges. And not so long ago, they built a new pedestrian bridge. Like in my neighborhood, I can walk from one side of the river to the other via the pedestrian walk on the bridge. And so we're like, this as a family, this is our first time like going up this bridge. And so we go up and, we are halfway up and looking over at the river. And it's like, okay, it's time to go back down. We're not going to make the whole walk. And so my daughter's running track at the time. And this is a second instance of me being competitive. My daughter's running track at the time, and I used to run track. And I'm 42 years old at the time. She's 8. And it's like, hey, Ava, I'll race you. And usually when you race your kid, like you're playing with them and you kind of let them win, but I wasn't going to let her win. And so we're running downhill. I remember looking over at David and saying, I probably shouldn't do this. I said that. But my New Year's resolution was to be in the best shape of my life. And so I was starting early. That's why I was all about the steps. And so he's recording us and he says, ready, set, go. And we both take off downhill at this time because we're going down the bridge. And I don't know at what point in the race it happened. Like we're neck and neck. And I start flying through the air and I land pretty much on my shoulder and my hip. And I can't move. And so, long story short, I'm in human resources, so I know what benefits like cost and stuff. I would not let him call an ambulance.
Which is a lesson that we should teach all of our friends, because it can be very expensive.
It's very expensive, and I'm on a high deductible plan. We don't have to get into that, but you are not calling the ambulance, and I'm not going to the emergency room. It's life or limb, and this doesn't feel like life or limb. I didn't hit my head and get a concussion. And so people stopped and tried to help me, and really there was nothing anyone could do other than carry me on like a stretcher down this hill, the rest of this hill. And so
How
downtown
far
Jacksonville,
away from home were you?
we didn't walk there, so that was good. I
Oh,
just
okay. So
had to
you
get to the
did the
car.
car. You had to get to the
Yes,
car. Okay.
thank
Oh my
goodness.
gosh.
So we
Christmas
would have got,
Eve, exactly what you want to have happen.
I know, exactly. And so he went goes to get one of those scooters, like the little kick scooters that you can rent, the motorized things that you can rent. So he went and got one of those, paid for it, came back up the hill because I refused to get in an ambulance, and sits me on the scooter and pushes me down the hill.
But actually, that's very creative. Very, very creative. So you make it back to the car. You don't, one of the things I was wondering, because it was Christmas Eve, is whether or not you went to the doctor, because it's not where I want to end up on Christmas Eve. But,
I went to urgent care.
oh, you did go to urgent care. All right.
Not the emergency room, but urgent care. Yes.
Okay. So, and did you go on Christmas Eve?
I did. Yep. I went straight there.
And were they able to tell you what damage you had done at that time, or did you find out later?
I found out later they
Okay.
predicted that I probably had a strained ligament and they gave me crutches and they wrapped my knee up. So the
Okay,
damage was
so,
to my knee.
all right, and later on, you found out that you'd torn the that you'd
I
torn a
tore
ligament.
my ACL. I strained my LCL and I had two bone bruises.
Oof, oof, wow. Okay, so, but you did get crutches. You were able to hobble around for until you like a little bit. It hurts a lot, I bet.
It hurts, yeah. Once I went to the doctor, had an MRI, had X-rays, because of the bruised bones, I couldn't start physical therapy to have the ACL surgery. I literally had to lay in the bed for 2.5 months.
Oh my goodness.
I was in the bed
Oh my.
until beginning mid-March.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
That
So
is
Christmas
not.
Eve, I'm scooting down on my butt. I mean, Christmas Day, I didn't have my diagnosis yet. I'm scooting down at my on my butt. I'm getting help getting in the shower.
Yeah.
I literally, if can I curse, I'm on my
Yes.
ass Christmas Day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is really, really tough. So that's a not the Christmas that people dream of, but things do happen. Life does continue and life
Yes.
happens on holidays. So that does happen to us. And I'm sure that you guys worked through the actual events of the holidays and made them magical for your
Yes.
daughter. So
Yes.
this wasn't that long ago. You were at that time, I think, if I get the information right from what you told me on the form, you'd been married for 15 years. That's a long marriage. And you have
Yes.
a child who's 10. Let's rewind this story by a lot before we talk about the next things that happen. There are people, there are kids who grow up with like a super clear vision of who they want to be as an adult, the life, the job, the families that they hope to have. So, and then there are other people who are like, go through life like, oh, I'm going to do this. And they choose based on what is like right in front of them kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you were younger, like, oh, probably actually, let's say around the age of your daughter, like around 10, what were the hopes, ideas, dreams that you had for any of this? Did you have a view of what you wanted to do as a grown up in a professional sense? Did you have a sense of the type of family you wanted to grow into? Any of that? Like, any, what were your dreams when you were little?
Yeah. I had a very clear picture of what my life looked like when I was little. I didn't know what profession I'd be in, but I knew I'd be a professional and
Okay.
I'd be a woman with a career that was a priority. I never saw myself married, and I only saw myself with one kid, and specifically it was a boy. So I was
I
unmarried, life partner, a little boy, all about the career.
I love it when people have like a very clear vision when they're young
Yeah.
of the gender of the kids they're going to have, because every once in a while it works out, right? It's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I have several friends who are like, I am only having girls, and then they'll have like, boys,
Five
all boys,
boys.
or right, exactly. And or it's, this is not a real person, it's from a movie, but they were, it's a movie, the foster parents or the foster family or stepmom or step whatever, anyway, and there's a person who's going through adoption, and like she's got very clear vision of like she wants a boy who plays sports and then gets like a bookish girl, and it's like,
Yeah.
I just, anyway, not actually part of the story. So you did have a vision of what you wanted to be and so on and so forth. That actually matches a lot of the things that you had accomplished at the time of this Christmas Eve
Yes.
incident. The Christmas Eve incident kicks off a series of big decisions for you.
Yeah.
It turns out that very quickly, you ask him to change the relationship. You ask him for a divorce. You decide, well, you hinted, you said this, you wanted to get in the best shape of your life. So you make some big changes to your physical body. What was it about? So that one actually comes before the Christmas Eve incident, but what was it about what was going on in your life or the thing that happened on Christmas Eve that led to these other decisions?
Yeah. When you're knocked on your butt, you have a lot of time to think. I couldn't go to the
Okay.
kitchen. I could not because the kitchen was downstairs. And so people had to like bring food to me, help me to the bathroom, help me in the shower. Like I could not do anything for myself. And I'm so independent. I'm such a busybody. Like if this ever makes it to YouTube, I am physically standing now because I'm such a busybody. And so I had a lot of time to be still. And that was something that I wasn't used to. And so my mind got really busy and I started thinking about, like where I was in life and was I truly okay with where I was? And the answer was a resounding no in some places of my
Okay.
life. Yeah.
So that's really interesting. If this will be on YouTube, so people will see you.
Yeah.
I love that you used a different version or definition or connotation of the word busybody. My grandmother, my mom's mom, would have said a busybody is somebody who meddles in somebody else's business.
Oh, okay.
And so when you said that, and then I was like, oh, she means that her body is busy. She keeps her body busy. I love that. I absolutely love that. All right. So the other thing that that question, your answer made me think of is, was your mind just sort of wandering, or were you using a tool? Because there are some tools like the Wheel of Life and kind of thing where they'll take you through the categories and ask you to score yourself. Were you just wandering through your thoughts and came to the idea like some of these things aren't measuring up, or did you have already the knowledge of, scoring and categorizing happiness and satisfaction in different parts of your life?
Yeah. So I've done the Wheel of Life before,
Okay, so
but that's
you.
not what I was using during this time. It was more of feelings that I'd busybodied myself through. Like I'd
Okay.
stayed busy, so I compartmentalized and pushed like festering things down. They started to come to the surface.
Okay, because you didn't have anything else to do. You didn't have, you
Yes.
had a lot of time to think. There's only so many times that you can go entirely through the Netflix library. And so your mind had time. All right, so Tiffany and I are talking about a time when she blew up her life on purpose. And so this is a good time for me to take a quick pause from our conversation, invite the audience to join us in the conversation. If you're not already following the show on social media, for every single episode, I put a discussion question online. So you can go and answer the question. I'll be there in the comments. Maybe Tiffany will be there in the comments. Other people who listen to the show will be engaging. It's fun. If you don't know the links for the show on social media, they'll be in the show notes. Okay, Tiffany, back to the conversation. I've been using the words blowing up your life. I don't know if you would use them. You could also absolutely call this a reinvention, which I think is maybe more in line with what the words that you use. Let's go through it. You ask your husband for a divorce
Yeah.
really quickly after this. Why was that important to you? And is the way he works out that he says, you don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. Like, is he like okay, and like walks out, or does it turn out to be a little more complicated than
It was definitely a little bit more complicated than that.
that?
So, accident happened December 24th. I asked for the divorce probably end of March, like right after spring break. And it wasn't as easy as, yeah, okay. It was more like, are you serious? Kind of where is this coming from? Which, like, psh, we've been in therapy. Like, hello. Like, we've been talking about these things. It should not have been a surprise. And honestly, the trigger point for me was, so my mom moved down to Jacksonville to help
Okay.
when I was injured and was basically here for 3 months and decided to move here. And so we went up to Alabama, moved her down to Jacksonville. She's a couple miles down the road, not with us. And I was taking her home one day, and I said out loud, I didn't mean to. I said, I don't want to go home.
It just snuck out. It's
I
like
just snuck out.
it was in your head and it just snuck out loud. Okay.
It wasn't a part of the conversation. It was like it was quiet in the car, and I just said, I don't want to go home.
And she was there, and did she call you on it?
She did. My mom is not the type of person to have like the deep conversation about it. She was more like, what are you talking about? You're so, girl, go home. You've been busy all day. Like, go home and, do whatever.
Yeah.
She kind of glossed over it because she doesn't want to, she also doesn't want to deal with the deep things.
Which is fine. No,
Yeah.
and you know what? Listen, it could have been anything. The answer to that could have been anything. It could have been, I've been putting it off. I have to clean out the refrigerator. I didn't make my bed this morning. I just don't want to deal with it. It could have been anything. So,
Sure.
but that was, and that was when you first verbalized it and began to think about this is a relationship thing. I'm tired of doing this.
Already knew that it had to happen at some point. I was avoiding family time, which means I was avoiding time with my daughter. I would
Okay.
find, like, they'd be downstairs. I would find a reason to be upstairs in my office so I wouldn't have to like engage because I didn't feel like I fit into the family unit. But that means I was missing precious time with my daughter. And so I already knew, and there were so many other things that I was missing. I'd completely lost myself.
Okay.
But that was the first time it came out unconsciously. I talked to my girlfriends about it, and we were in therapy, so I talked to our couples therapy a therapist about it, and also like my individual therapist about it. So it was there. It was just, I said I don't want to go home. I'd never been that direct about it.
So there's you dropped a few little nuggets there. So this means you had already given this a lot of work. Like you guys were in the full press. You were doing couples therapy and you also had your own therapist, which is what they tell us to do. Those are the instructions. So Tiffany followed the instructions. And so that's a lot. It is a hard conversation to have with yourself and also with anybody else in your family, though. It is, even when it goes seamlessly, this level of separation after 15 years is a lot. It's detangling a lot of things. It's a major, major change. That's not the only change you make. So you started this, you ran down the bridge By the way, I learned today in this interview that Jacksonville is known for its bridges. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you're running down the bridge because you've already set yourself a goal to get in the best shape of your life, which I love. And but I don't think that it's conducive. Losing your ACL and being, having to stay still for 2.5 months probably isn't the best kickoff for that plan. You do make good progress in this. You mentioned that you had a pretty massive weight loss, physical body change that you went through. That was intentional, is what it sounds like. And what was it that was motivating you to want to make that change?
Honestly, after moving out, so I told him I wanted a divorce, let's say end of March. We had sublease, so we decided not to keep the house. I'll leave it at that.
Well, yeah, it messes up all the housing. Yes, no, you
I
don't have
wanted
to
to
go into
stay in
the
the house.
details.
He didn't want me to stay in the house. So
Yes, but
we sold the house. It was an easy sale. We just put in a pool, enclosed pool like the year before. So it sold really fast. We made some money. I moved into an apartment. And honestly, once I got out of the house, it was a little bit, I forgot to eat like half of the day. Like just, I started intermittent fasting unconsciously. And the weight just started falling off. And I think it was emotional weight, it was mental weight, it was physical. Like the weight just started falling off. And that was another part of my marriage I wasn't happy with. Health was really important to me, and he ate like a 5-year-old. And so it just started melting away. And I would say 8 months later, I was 35 pounds lighter. And I've
Wow.
maintained 35 pounds weight lost.
That is amazing. So, I mean, people, I think that today in 2025, most people are in agreement that there's some kind of mind-body connection, that a lot of
Oh, yeah.
times the weight we carry can have emotional roots. And, and these were huge changes in your life, relationship
Yes.
change, a big health challenge. You moved. That's one of the top stressors. So that is a delightful
I moved
story that you
twice.
move twice, big changes. That is a lot of pressure. So that's a delightful part of this story that you were able to do that, and it just melted off, and you're maintaining that as your new happy size. What was the reaction? So your mom moves to Jacksonville. You've got other friends and family in your community. You've got, coworkers, all those things. When you started making these changes, because this is actually a very small amount of time. We're talking, this
Yes.
starts December 2024, and you and I are talking in July of 2025. What did the people who you know as friends, acquaintances, whatever, family, what did they think about you making these big changes?
People who know me well, who's known me for a while, they weren't surprised. When I make my mind up about something, I go. That's why, like, my slogan is turning ambitions into actions. When my mind says go, action quickly follows. Messy action is my thing. I don't have to have perfect. And so people that knew me weren't surprised. People that knew me more recently, they were like, slow down. This is too much. This is going to put a financial strain on you. You need to take, one of my financial friends, she's like, you need to take 2 years to recover from your divorce before you do anything else. I'm like, oh, I'm buying a house, by the way. Can you look at these numbers for me? It's happening. Look at the numbers for me.
She gave you a pretty modest expectation, a pretty aggressive expectation that it takes about 6 years is the research for the for
I'm
once you,
feeling it now still.
yeah, it just that's it. It's like 6 years. It's actually the same like for new weddings. So it's about 6 years anytime you go through a major change like that for the before you feel like you're settled. And so it's the same. It's di totally different, but it's the same time frame, which is really just kind of bizarre. And probably also in other things, but those are the two that I know. So people were not terribly surprised. You got a mixed bag of information, though. Some people were like, checks out. Other people were like, hold the phone, put the brakes on, so
Yes,
on and so
yes.
forth. All right. So as a result of this rapid experience and rapid change, you start by creating a side hustle to help women who are ready to invent themselves and shake things up. Those are some of the words that you use. There's been a change with this, which I found out right before we started. So tell us about why you started this and what's going on.
Yes. So I started the coaching in 2020, right before COVID. So the
Okay.
business existed. During the time that I was injured, I did not have the mental or emotional capacity to do nothing. So 2024, my business basically died. Between the injury, the divorce, like I did very little to keep my business afloat. And then there was basically the relaunch of it.
Okay. All right. So you went through, so 2020, you became a coach as a side business.
As a side business,
As a
yeah.
side business. 2020 will, I think, go down. 2021, maybe it will go down as the like boom season of online coaching. Like when we look
Yes,
back in
yes, yes.
2020. So like that's a but then not at all surprising, just keeping things going in 2024 with the injury. So, but you're relaunching this. Tell us what you do and how you help people.
Yeah. So I am a success coach for women. I help women overcome their fear of change and pursue a life of their dreams. And so what I find is women are afraid to dream big. Like they have, similar to me, like they've gotten on a path and they're just like on this path and not necessarily happy or feel joy on a regular basis. The extreme of that is they might be miserable. And I help them, dream and kind of see that light again. And then what are actionable steps they can take to start to make this a reality? And you don't have to burn your life down like I did.
Right. But I think that I mean, some people, I think that some people are more prone to wanting to burn their life down than others. But, and that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, I think the sort of the way we are, some people will leap before looking, like they're fine. They're like, okay, I'm just going, burn the bridge. And other people, I'm more of a person who's like, I want to know what's at the bottom before I jump off the cliff. Like, I'm not afraid to jump. I just do want to check. That's not like, Wile E. Coyote, like at the bottom, like I'm not going to splat. And other people are like, no, I'm going to wait until, I get to the pedestrian bridge that
Things
I
get
know I can
perfect.
walk. Yeah, exactly. So this started as a side hustle, but I think you told me this is full time now. This is your gig.
As of June 20th, I exited my full-time gig as a chief people officer for a nonprofit organization. We needed to do a layoff. And of course, as chief people officer, I'm a part of that layoff, like the strategy behind it. And, I saw an opportunity to write myself out of the org chart. It's what the organization needed, and I'm not so selfish that I kept my position in. And I saw this as an opportunity to turn my side hustle into a full-time thing. It was always when I get X amount of dollars in the bank, when I have, my car or my home paid off until this point, and that day just doesn't come. And so this is me jumping off the bridge.
Wow, that's very exciting. That's a very exciting. Okay, so you have a special offer for the audience, which is a master class, which you call Rituals and Routines. So there's a link for that, everybody, in the show notes, and wherever you're listening or watching to the show. And the easiest way to get the link for these things is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then it's a link that you can click right in the email. So I always recommend that. It really is the easy peasiest way. So, Tiffany, thank you very much for that generous offer. I appreciate it. Are you ready for the final three questions?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. I can't imagine asking you a question that you're not ready for because you seem to be super energetic and ready and just a tiny bit competitive. All right. So, I write these questions before I talk to everybody, and they're a little bit different each time. And sometimes I crack myself up with funny things that I'm asking people that turn out to match pretty well. So I do actually love this. What is something that you are afraid of and that you are okay with admitting to the audience of the show?
I'm afraid of failing, to be completely honest with
Okay.
you. Like, I'm afraid of not going hard enough after my dream.
All right. All right. I love that. I love that. Could have been anything. Could have been flying palmetto bugs. Okay. So, name something. Now, I've asked this question before and not everybody gets it, but I love it. Name something like an ability or a talent or a skill that you like cannot do now, right? But you wish you could.
Ooh, S sing, sing,
Yes, you get it. You totally understood the question. You
sing.
got it. You got it.
I'd
That,
love to
yes.
sing. I would never shut up.
I love it. All right, very good. All right, so do you listen to music? And if so, how do you store all of your songs that you like to listen to? Are you like on a Spotify playlist? Do you have like an old school box of cassettes sitting somewhere? FM radio? What do you do?
Okay, so I have two ways that I listen to my music. One is Amazon Music because I have an Alexa in just about every room and I can say, Alexa, play this thing, and it's always ready. I don't have to store anything. And then when I'm in the car, I have Sirius XM, and so I just like jam out to some R&B or some hip hop or some pop if my daughter's in the car, or some K-pop if she's driving the radio. And so, yeah.
I love that. I love that. It's one of my favorite things about satellite radio is that you can listen to the same, and you don't have to find the local station.
Right.
So if you're like in a rental car or whatever in, Beelzebub, town that
Yeah.
you don't have any idea where you even are, you can still be like, ooh, this is my channel. I totally love that. I even have the app on my
I
phone for
even have the app on
sometimes.
my phone. Yep.
Yeah,
I went on a
it's
7.5 hour drive this past weekend, and I was able to listen to two stations the entire way and not have to, like, I'm old, so I remember having to search for stations or pop in a
Yes.
CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, with the I'm sure you can still do this actually, where you'd put it on the scan and it would jump to the next station searching for the station. And if you were in a dead zone, like in the middle of nowhere, it would just scroll all the way through, or maybe pick up some like super scratchy like talk radio station for just a second.
That was Bob Marley cassette time.
Yes, yes, 100%. That's it, Tiffany Bibb. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.